This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, it's Race Again. This is Frida Liu, John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions here again with our Facilitating Meaning from Rhythm Interventions, our third session today, and it's about corporate parallels to drum circle facilitation. We had a good time last week playing the drums. Okay, so you're calling yourself a learning facilitator.
Right.
So what does a learning facilitator ultimately hope to achieve with the different groups, you know, that they're working with?
Okay, facilitator gets a lot of adjectives before it sometimes. There's learning facilitators, there's the drum circle facilitators. Just to be general and to kind of put myself into a general category, I'm a learning facilitator. So my ultimate objective as a learning facilitator is to kind of work myself out of a job.
Okay.
All right. And this would be the job of any kind of a facilitator, because what you're doing initially is you're enabling this process. You're enabling communication between the people that you're working with. You're enabling problem solving, creativity, efficiency, and you're kind of encouraging group investment into this process as well. So your role as a facilitator, or my role as a facilitator, is there, therefore, just to make sure that this process takes place. And that when the process is through, I can just kind of step back and let things automatically move on their own. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about, because today we're making parallels between drum circle facilitation, which involves the same thing. I start off very involved with the group, showing them what to do. But after an hour, I hope I can reach a point where I can just step back and let these people play on their own by themselves. Same thing happens in corporate facilitation when we're working on something like communication skills. I start off doing some training, showing people what to do, but ultimately, as my role becomes less and less, I'm hoping that these people can do what they have to do on their own, so I can just sit back, observe, and orchestrate, so to speak. Right?
Okay. And I know last week we talked about how you use drum circles for team building,
right.
Corporate entertainment, and of course, organizational intervention. That's what you do largely.
Right.
Right. So, and when you talk about the four stages, right, in each of the models for facilitation, is it like, you know, the one we've heard, the forming, the storming, the norming, the performing, are they the same?
Okay. They're almost exactly alike. Let's take a look at a couple of models here just to show you how the facilitation process works. And then the last one that we'll look at is what happens in an actual rhythm event or a drum circle. The first model that we want to look at is, let's say, English language education. All right. Now, we're going to have to exploit the beauty of radio here so that we can imagine what this model is going to look like as I describe it here.
Visualize it.
Visualize this. Take a piece of A4 paper in your mind and in the lower left-hand, and hold it landscape,
okay.
Right? And in the lower left-hand corner, let's draw a line that kind of curves upward towards the upper right-hand corner, mm-hmm. All right? And that line is now going to separate our A4 paper into two distinct parts. The top one we're going to call teacher input. The bottom one we're going to call student performance. And you can see that as we move along this A4 paper to the right, the amount of teacher input is going to decrease as the amount of student performance increases. So we're going to look at four stages as we go through here as the teacher becomes less important. We start with comprehensible input, things that the student is going to understand from the teacher. But the student's role will be mostly just to listen. Very passive,
right.
Not a lot of involvement, not a lot of communication. But then as we move towards the right a little bit, we get into more exercises where the teacher gives them drills, perhaps question and answer sessions, things like that, where now the student is becoming a little bit more involved, teacher's role a little bit less. As we move farther to the right, the teacher's role now becomes a little bit more monitoring and correcting as the student does most of the conversation, but the teacher will be there to tweak things and keep things right, you know, corrections and making sure everything's okay. And finally, when we get to the end, the right ultimate right-hand side of this A4 paper, this model, we expect that the teacher and the student will be conversant. And the teacher will no longer be doing any correction, but a subtle correction, but encouraging the student to talk some more. All right. So the main thing that we're looking at here is that as we move to the right, the teacher's role becomes less, the student's role becomes more, until ultimately the student is able to do everything on their own. All right. A similar model that we can look at, same type of situation, applies to management. Let's imagine we've got a manager who's working with a new team of people. Team is newly formed. They're competent. They know what they're doing. But the manager and the team are working together for the first time. So now let's take another piece of A4 paper and look at a management model that follows the same process. A4 paper, once again, lower left-hand corner. This time we're going to draw a line from the lower left-hand corner directly up to the upper right-hand corner. So we've divided this in half. Mm-hmm. I've got two triangles now in my rectangle. But again, the upper left-hand corner is going to be the focus on authority from the manager, and the lower right-hand corner will be the focus on the group, the team members that are there. And as we move to the right, we can see once again that the authority diminishes as the group participation increases. And once again, we've got four stages along the way where the manager is going to be working with the group. At the earliest stage, the manager will be telling the group what to do, mm-hmm. as the group just automatically complies. Autocratic, full control. As we move to the right, now the manager has to kind of sell his idea to the group, be a little bit more persuasive, all right? Rationalize his decisions, all right? And this is going to work when the task is negotiable and motivation is a little bit necessary, because mm-hmm. the participants will need some ownership here. As the group gets better and as the group, the team improves and as they start working together more, now the manager becomes more of a consultant, where his role is going to present ideas and invite input. And his weight and the participant's weight will be almost equal. And finally, when we reach the end, all right, where we have almost no authority anymore, now we've got almost full group control, where the manager is just another participant in the group. And he still assumes authority when authority is necessary, mm-hmm. all right? But now the group is in full control. So in both of these models so far, as we move to the right along our model, we have less authority, more control by the participants.
Right. And
go ahead.
And that's sort of like how we want it in an organization, where you're still in the background,
right.
but everyone knows what to do,
sure.
and everyone's taking control of everything. And
exactly. And then your role, if you're in management or if you're in upper management like that, your role is just to orchestrate this whole thing as the clockwork moves along on its own. Now, this is exactly how a drum circle works, because we can follow the same model along what Arthur Hall has called an anatomy of a rhythm-based event. Let's look at perhaps an hour-long drum circle. Mm. All right, once again, I've got my A4 paper, lower left-hand corner once again. I'm drawing a curving line to the upper right-hand corner, so I've divided this into two once again. Let's call the upper left-hand part facilitator control and the lower right-hand part participant control, or you could even call it drummer control, right? As we move along to the right once again, we've got four distinct stages where the facilitator is going to be working his or her way out of a job. He begins as a director, telling them what to do, showing them how to drum, teaching the necessary body language, all right? And then the drummers who are there, who don't really know what much to do yet, because a lot of times they're brand new drummers, right? They just kind of follow along. Then we exercise them a little bit. We show them a little bit more about what they can do. We illustrate the different tones of the drums. And as we do this, the participants are starting to get a little bit more group consciousness. They see how this is all fitting together. Move to the right a little more. Now the drum circle facilitator is actually facilitating this event.
Right.
We're no longer training. Now we're facilitating. And the group is aware now that this is a percussion ensemble. It's not just an individual. It's not just a group of instruments, but we are an ensemble, a musician ensemble. And finally, once we get to the end, again, you've got the drum circle facilitator who's orchestrating, and the group is in full orchestration. They can pretty much go on their own. If they get out of sync, they can get right back into it. They're going to experiment on their own. So all three of these models, whether it's in education, management, or in drum circle facilitation, follow the same basic pattern.
Mm, all right. And four seems to be the magic number.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that as you brought it up, this four stages in forming, storming, norming, performing.
Right. And also, at what stage does the drum circle facilitator stop training and start facilitating? John Hagedorn from Better Training Solutions in just a moment, right here in Race a Game, BFM 89.9. This is Race a Game on Enterprise. Good morning. Frida Liu here. And I'm here with John Hagedorn from Better Training Solutions and facilitating meaning from rhythm interventions. Today, it's about corporate parallels to drum circle facilitation. And early on, you were talking about these couple of models, whether it's in education and management, and then four mm-hmm. seems to be the magic number.
Right.
And it always starts off with the person, the manager, taking control in the case of management.
Correct.
And in the end, sort of giving that control to the staff, to the participants. So, mm-hmm. but also with a facilitator, which point does a drum circle facilitator stop training and start facilitating?
Okay. To illustrate that, you brought up earlier this idea of forming, storming, norming, performing. And this is a classic. We hear this in a lot of training about how teams get together. This is actually a model developed by Bruce Tuckman back in 1965.
Whoa!
Yeah, back in the 60s. But the model is still relevant because it shows exactly how a team is going to get together. He's added another stage onto this, but essentially it's these main four stages that we're looking at here: forming, storming, norming, performing. This is what happens as a team develops, as a group gets together. And these four models that I've been talking about here also have four distinct stages that we go through. So if we take this Tuckman paradigm of forming, storming, norming, performing, and if we take this anatomy of a drum circle or a rhythm event that I just talked about, we can see a parallel between each stage in team development and a necessary role that the facilitator would take on in order to facilitate the development of the team. Got mm-hmm. it? So instead of just letting the team go by themselves, if you've got a good facilitator there who's going to be enabling the process, then the facilitator will also have to take on these four roles. So when the group is forming, let's take a look at this here, this Tuckman-Hall paradigm here, right? When the group is forming, they're learning about each other. They don't know much about the rules. There's not much agreement on goals and objectives and everything. So that means that the group is going to need some kind of a, let's call him once again, a dictator to tell them what to do, to demonstrate what needs to be done, to enable codes of behavior that the group is going to abide by and just let them know exactly what the rules are. Okay, this is what we're going to follow. All right. Now that we've got that, they eventually move into the next stage where they're no longer learning about each other, but they begin challenging each other. Mm. This is the storming stage. And at this point, they're going to be vying for position. There might be some power struggles within the group and with the leader or the facilitator. And you're going to get little cliques forming within the group as well, forming around similarities. If you have a very large group, it might be people who are from the same department. Or if you have people from different countries that are going to get together for a conference, it's going to be all the Koreans and all the Japanese. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They all get together in their little cliques. So what we need now is a director, someone who's going to exercise the group and kind of start giving out responsibilities. Because what's going to happen at this point is the director is directing group consciousness. We're no longer individuals here. We're getting together as a group. So we're going to focus on in training. We're going to focus on a groove that we can all step into. And we're going to be providing opportunities for success within the group so that the group feels successful together. Because these are the things that bring them that provide unity within the group. Now, to go back to your question here, when do you stop training and when do you start facilitating? There's always going to be a mixture, but in these first two stages, as a dictator and a director, a lot of what you're doing is training, showing them how to, giving them rules, a lot of content that they need to know in order to perform better by the time it's done. After this director stage, then we can facilitate a little more because now the participants know what to do. And that's why they're no longer challenging each other, but they start working with each other as we reach the norming stage. And this is where facilitation kicks in,
right?
Because now what we're doing is facilitating interactive collaboration, getting the group to work together. And developing the relationships of individuals within the group. Perhaps sculpting out small groups sometimes for special little performances to allow the rest of the group to support them, because now group consciousness has been established, so we can show how little groups can perform, things like that. And again, what we're doing here is we're raising the ensemble consciousness that mm-hmm. we are all together in this, and we have an objective now that we're trying to achieve. And finally, we reach the last stage here where we are going to be performing. Mm-hmm. In other words, we're no longer working with each other. We're working as one unit. Now this group or this team is able to function in whatever task they have been assigned. In the same way, a drum circle is able to perform at the level that they have been brought to on their own. The drum circle facilitator can step out. I did a huge drum circle one time with 320 people up in Penang.
Wow.
With a local pharmaceutical company. And it just followed this progression beautifully. There was no tweaking much that had to be done. They just followed it right along. And by the time they reached the performance stage, by the time they were in full orchestration, I felt like I could just step right out of that circle, and I began to walk out the door and waved goodbye, and they waved goodbye to me. And then people started jumping into the middle of the circle to take my place, because it was all theirs now. It was all theirs. So the main parallel that we have now between drum circle facilitation and corporate training, corporate learning, any kind of learning, is that as the facilitator kind of gives up his or her role, the learners, the performers, whoever you have in your group, the team members are the ones who are eventually going to take over and do the whole thing on their own.
Right. And next week, we're actually going to be facilitating meaning from rhythm interventions. This is going to be our topic.
Yeah, we'll go through the model. We'll go through the model and show you how it works. We might even do more drumming. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions. Racing Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.